Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. On a national view, we know that millennials are a young generation that is educated, tech-savvy, and pretty sure of themselves. But what does it mean to be a Native American millennial? Is this group of young people shaped by something else? Do they have different values? And when we talk about Native American millennials, are we also talking about our tribal culture? Join us for a conversation on millennials in Native America, right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native Americans and environmentalists have joined forces to fight development of a highway project in California. The Coyote Band of Pomo Indians say state and federal agencies are not consulting with them about construction of a four-lane bypass being built over where the tribe says are indigenous ancestral sites. Christina Onnested reports.
Army Corps, open the door!
About 50 people recently rallied for tribal sovereign rights in San Francisco. Attorney Polly Gervin is a consultant for the Coyote Band of Pomo Indians near Willits, California. She says since Caltrans, the lead agency of the highway bypass project, began construction 2 years ago, more than 30 culturally significant sites have been unearthed. She says the agency was supposed to protect at least six sites.
Caltrans did none of that work on six sites and destroyed an ancient village site in the dark of night without an Indian monitor present.
Phil Frisby, public information officer with Caltrans, says the agency is acting in accordance with the law.
Well, Caltrans, in the development of this project, has followed all state and federal cultural laws.
The tribe is asking the Army Corps of Engineers to step in and help mediate, but a spokesperson for the department says it doesn't have the authority to do so, since Caltrans remains lead agency, which tribal members dispute. While Caltrans and Pomo tribes are at an impasse, construction of the Willits Bypass continues. Christina Onnested, National Native News, San Francisco, California.
The Interior Department is touting its tribal land buyback program on the program's one-year anniversary. The Cobell settlement provided nearly $2 billion to purchase fractionated trust or restricted land from willing sellers. U.S. Interior Deputy Secretary Mike Connor says the program includes tribal consultation and public outreach.
What we're focused on is our outreach efforts. We want to make sure that those folks who are getting offers for their fractionated interests have good information and can make those decisions based on all the factors that they need.
According to the department, land fractionation is a serious problem in Indian country because many tracts have hundreds and even thousands of individual owners, and lands are often idle without any benefit. Landowners have received nearly $225 million, and thousands of acres have been restored to tribes. The rotunda inside Milwaukee City Hall was recently filled with displays, which organizers say informs the public that Native people were in Wisconsin long before settlers arrived. Chuck Kornbach has more.
A Native American dancer moves to the sound of modern Native music. A few feet away, about 50 paintings, sculptures, and other traditional and modern works from Native artists in Wisconsin are displayed on walls and tables. Oneida tribal member John Cook has organized the show as part of his group, the Native American Awareness Project. Cook says the exhibit helps show thousands of Native Americans live in southeastern Wisconsin.
This is the big enchilada here. We get to show people on a larger basis that Natives are here, we're art world, we're here, and you'll be seeing a lot more of us.
One of the works is a four-panel mural showing tribal members from hundreds of years ago in Milwaukee's Menominee River Valley during all four seasons. Cook says the valley was a center of activity for tribes like the Potawatomi, Menominee, and Oneida.
They'd all come together and meet where the rivers met, which is the Menominee Valley. There they would work out their political and economic problems and solve them.
Currently, the main Native presence in the valley is the Forest County Potawatomi Hotel and Casino, but Cook has plans for more Native-themed artwork there and in other parts of the city. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach in Milwaukee.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the Striking Eagle Invitational Basketball Tournament and Educational Fair on December 31st. Information on services and the fair at ahcnm.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Millennials are the generation of people often said to be born between the 1980s and 90s. They're college students and new employees, maybe even new parents. This generation is getting a lot of attention in news stories. The research shows they are highly educated, tech savvy, confident, and ambitious. Like generations before them, some say they are also misunderstood. Some leaders in older generations think millennials are on their phones too much or are too dependent on their parents. But millennials are telling reporters and researchers that family and giving back to the community are very important to them. And we want to know, what do you think? Were you born between 1980 and the year 2000? And how do you see your generation? Give us a call at 1-800-996-2848. And we also want to hear from the baby boomers and elders. What do you think about millennials? Again, our number is 1-800-996-2848. And also, what's different about millennials in our Native communities? What do they value? And how do you think they might make an impact on Native America in coming years? Join us this hour by calling 1-800-99-NATIVE. And now I'd like to go ahead and welcome Lee Longhorn. He's with us today from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Lee is a millennial and a former AmeriCorps member, and he is Creek and Shawnee. Welcome to Native America Calling, Lee.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, Lee. Great to have you with us here. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there scratching their head, thinking about, okay, is somebody a millennial or not? What does it mean? And how does this connect to Native America? I know we were asking that. That's why we wanted to, reserve this hour for it. And so, Lee, with everything you hear in the news, in the media about millennials, what's your own definition of it?
I think a millennial is just someone, it's a term like kind of like baby boomers and Generation X. We're actually after Generation X. So I'm about the late 80s to maybe 2001, 2002. I think one thing that really defines our generation is remembering 9/11, seeing it at such a young age, seeing the aftermath of it, being able to remember, airports before they look like, mini shopping malls. So I think that's how I kind of see our generation as. Like, that was our defining moment.
And Lee, how would you just if you had to present to folks and let them know how a millennial thinks, could you map some of that out for us?
I'd say a millennial is more adaptable, especially when in terms of technology and maybe society, because we're kind of in a liaison between the old school of the 20th century, as technology was developing and growing, to, how things are the way they are now. I mean, as a kid, we probably walked around with Walkmans and portable cassette players, and now we have iPods and iPhones and Pandora on our laptops.
And so, Lee, do you have to know about Angry Birds to be a millennial?
No, but you probably remember, to be a millennial, I think you have to remember staying up Friday nights with your friends playing GoldenEye on Nintendo 64, or having a tournament, a Mario Kart tournament with your cousins. And I think one of the things we do probably remember that sets us apart is that we remember the last few years of the 20th century where we played outside more and had more of an imagination than, oh, what my imagination is what I can create on my iPad.
All right, Lee. Thanks for that. And if you just heard his explanation of that and he's describing you, we want you to call in. What do you think about your generation? What do you think is misunderstood? If you are among this generation called the millennials, call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And if you're out there and you said, you know what, he just described my child, you know, what is it like to be the parent of a millennial? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And how do national definitions of this, how do they compare to Native America? You know, do you think that the age range is about the same? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. We want to hear from you. And Lee, here's some from the Pew Research. They took a look at millennials. Here's what they're saying about your generation. One example is you embrace modes of self-expression, cast a weary eye on human nature, and also on course to become one of the most educated generations in American history. Lee, what do you think about that?
I'd have to agree. I think that, you know, a story I read a couple of months ago was, and it was obviously like a chain email, but the impact of it left a mark on me, was that it's a young man's dad worked at a mill, and he would put change every night, and before he went to bed, he put a change in a jar, and over the years, that change accumulated to where his son could go to college. I think that's what pushed us to become so educated was our parents. You know, they may have missed out. They may have, may not even finish college. They may lack a few credit hours or maybe just a semester, but you know, there was a big push to go to college. And then over the years, those in higher education created pathways for us with scholarships, with endowments, and with programs. In Tulsa, we have a program called Tulsa Achieves, which allows students to go for 2 years free to Tulsa Community College. So I really think that, you know, higher education is very, very emphasized and pushed at this time.
All right, Lee, what do you think about what I also, this for our listeners, some of the lists that I just read off for you, do you think those are good examples that describe people who are in their 20s, early 30s? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Here's another one that came out of that research. It says millennials place parenthood and marriage far above career and financial success, but they aren't rushing to the altar. Parents, millennials, what do you think about that one? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. We also want to hear from elders on this one, too. Lee, what do you think about that last one?
I can see it. I can definitely agree. I think a lot of it stems from our parents. You know, there's always that report that one out of two marriages will end in divorce, and a lot of millennials may have a parent who's been through a divorce, but they also have parents who are remarried and happy, and, you know, it's almost like the first marriage was just kind of a test run. So I think some millennials may have be a little standoffish to rush to get married just because there is a we, but let's focus on me for now. You can be along for the ride.
You know, Lee, I've read that a lot, too, that's another way that people are describing millennials, the me generation, the entitled generation. We want to get into that. Have you read or heard something similar? Has it come out of your own mouth where you're saying, I think this generation is truly the me generation? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's bring in our first caller. We have Kyle in Boise, Idaho, who wants to join us. He is tuned in via Native Voice One. Kyle, what do you think about millennials?
You know, I think we're a very interesting and dynamic generation. I wanted to touch base on, I think it was the first caller in the session who had mentioned, you know, the millennials kind of remember, you know, video game and playing GoldenEye tournaments and things like that with their friends and stuff. And I think millennials have been able to kind of take those group skills that we learn at a young age, you know, playing video games, frankly, and stuff, and are really kind of transitioning the technology from the 20th century to the 21st century and taking our experience and our kind of, I don't want to use the term natural, but our we've been exposed to it for a greater period of time and have been exposed to the rapid changes occurring in that. And I think our ability to kind of work as groups and our social networking skills are adapting technologies towards the baby boomer generations and earlier generations and making that technology more accessible to them.
And Kyle, would you say that we are living in a millennial world, especially when it comes to technology?
You know, I think it's hard to say that millennials are the source of that technology, so I would probably disagree that it's a millennial world. I think moving forward, we're going to see more of the ideologies of millennials becoming more present throughout, whether it be technology, the political spheres, the social spheres. I think the millennial group is kind of still too young for the most part. You know, most of us are in our 20s and maybe our early 30s. And so maybe, you know, over the next 10, 15 years, we'll kind of see those trends shift more towards stronger millennial influence overall.
All right, Kyle, thank you for sharing with us. And what do you think? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we know that millennials are tech savvy. So, of course, if you'd rather tweet us, send us your thoughts there. We're on Twitter at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Native America, what do you think about the term millennials? Do you think it should be used to describe young people today? Do you have questions about it? Have you wondered? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. What do you think? 1-800-996-2848. And also, you know, if you have an opinion of how Native American millennials differ from the rest of the world, I want to hear it. Give us a call. 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and bring in another millennial voice on the line today in Albuquerque. We have Tyann Benally, and she's a community advocate. And Tyann is Dene. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Tyann.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Tyann, we just called you a millennial. Do you accept this title?
I accept the title, and it's interesting for this conversation because usually the title is could be seen as negative from previous generations, such as I guess you would kind of identify, some would probably identify us as maybe the Peter Pan syndrome, as never wanting to grow up. Whereas more, I feel like it's more acceptable these days to, you know, not marry later and also having children later. And I really agree with the whole first portion of saying education is priority. And I feel that for Native American communities now, our generation sees education as a priority. And I think that stems from getting out of poverty. And so our parents always emphasized, you know, the education on us to go out and see the world and, you know, make that change. And so a lot of the people that I associate with that are Native American young professionals, and they are the ones that are traveling out there doing good change and social change. But they're also coming back and giving back to their community, and that's what I have been doing. So I see it as, yes, as a millennial, as actually leaving your community and seeing the world, but also coming back and bringing back that change. That's how I would identify myself as education is priority.
All right, Tyann, hang out with us. We got more calls are going to be weaving in. We also want you to join the conversation, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And are you a millennial? Do you think older generations understand your age? Or do you think they're making assumptions that aren't true? We want to hear from you. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Or are you from that older generation who's being accused of misunderstanding millennials? Call in, voice your opinions too. 1-800-996-2848. Let's go on over to Kamiai, Idaho. We're going to bring in our caller, Johnny, who's on tuned into us on KIYE. Johnny, what do you think?
Oh, I'd just like to touch upon the issue of when you were listening off the stuff about the older generation thinking that the millennials, I'm a millennial, 1985, and I love the comment earlier about the Mario Kart tournaments and the Golden Eye. That is so right on. But anyways, I'd like to talk about you know, the resentment living with the parents and stuff like that. I think that my generation really got dealt the short end of the stick with the bubble burst. That class of 03,
information right at the time. And
all right, hold tight, Johnny. Let's see if we can get a better tie to your line. You're giving us some good stuff there. Hold tight, Johnny, while we check your line again, 1-800-996-2848. Tyann, while we do that, I'd also like to hear, you know, how do you think that Native millennials differ, or are they exactly the same as millennials in the rest of the nation, maybe even the world?
Well, I think there's a difference between, I can identify myself as an urban Native millennial because I grew up more as an urban Native. But there, I believe there would be a difference between an urban Native versus a Native who grew up on the reservation. And so I think that would be interesting to bring that conversation as well. I know there was a comment saying usually on the reservation we're 20 years behind. And so it'd be interesting to see how the millennials on the reservation would perceive the urban Natives, millennials. So I would see there's a difference between that as well as being a woman. Myself, I'm not married nor have children. I'm 31 and still, I guess you would say, still focusing on, you know, my education and my career. But I feel that's becoming more acceptable in our Native communities.
All right. Thanks, Tyann. I'm also hearing that bringing back culture, reviving culture is also something that a lot of Native millennials are into. Have you heard the same? What do you think? Call us right now. 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go back and see if we can get Johnny back in here. Johnny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sounds much better. Go ahead. Continue your thought.
Like my grandpa, he could work one job and support the whole family just based off of the economy and the wage rate and everything like that. And I feel a lot of resentment for the older generation, like we're too much on our smartphones or something like that, or just come up with what the other caller said. Yesterday was Walkmans and Discman, and it's always been something. But as far as the economy and stuff like that being more dependent, yeah, we came to age right there, the bubble burst. And like the previous caller talking about, you know, my generation, you look at millennials, the marriage age for men, the average age is somewhere around 30. Average age for women is right too. People are waiting to get married, focusing on their careers. They're trying to get that college education, which now doesn't really pay off as much as it used to. And I just really think that that's a crux of that issue. You know, because if we were to have the same equivalent minimum wage as our parents or their parents had, be significantly more than it is now. So you find a lot of people my age still living with their folks, trying to go to college, trying to do all that kind of stuff. And it's just really hard now. I find myself talking about food prices. My grandparents talked to me when I was a kid, just since I was in high school.
All right. Johnny, thank you for your call. Lee, anything you want to add? Johnny's brought up a lot. All right, let's see if we can get Lee back. Now, there are probably some older generations who are listening to this right now and saying technology-based, tech-savvy, and hearing all of this technical issues. You know, what do you think about that? We believe so much in technology. We're celebrating the generation who loves technology, and we're having these issues. What do you think? Let's have some fun. 1-800-996-2848. Tyann, you know, what do you think about that? Let's put that on the table. There's probably an older generation out there who's thinking the same thing I just said. Okay, technology, but we can't hear you talk. Go ahead, Tyann.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
That was awesome. Tyann, let's move forward. And I just want to hear as well, when we talk about technology being the base, is there anything you would like to decode why younger generations turn to technology?
I think technology, too, is a form of social media is huge. And for instance, I really depend on Twitter for a lot of my newsfeed. And some of us are, you know, on the go, always, you know, doing something, or sometimes it's just easy to get on the phone to communicate. People are busy, you know, with families or their jobs. And so I think it's more of a form of like social. Like a social network where it's easier, where you just text, communicate through Twitter or Facebook. I guess you would say it's more of a convenience.
All right. Thanks for that, Tyann. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Ryan in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in to KUNM. Ryan, what do you think about all this?
Well, I want to say I'm frustrated. I grew up in Austin, Texas. I'm 29 years old. And, you know, I'm a white male. I grew up with a lot of opportunities. I had a good education, and I was well versed in technological resources, and you know, just I had a lot. But what I realized is that I didn't have a community narrative. I didn't have a way of identifying myself in relationship to the world in a powerful way. And this really became clear. I traveled to South America for a month with a friend, and I was in Chile, and I met a Mapuche man, and I was asking him about his community and about his culture, you know, almost taking the stance of an anthropologist investigating, you know, some faraway people. And, you know, he was very interesting and told me about the cosmology of the Mapuche people and, you know, his traditions. And then he asked me, he said, well, what about your culture? You know, what about your community? And I had to tell him, I said, I don't have a community. I don't have a culture. My community is consumption. My culture is alienation and you know, isolation of all these individuals, even though we're so connected by technology now. And I just wanted to call because I moved to Santa Fe. I had a job in IT at a bank, and I went to the University of Texas, and, you know, I have all the opportunities any American could ask for. And I came to Santa Fe, and I'm now working. I'm an arborist. I do construction. And I'm here because I realized there's something in this culture, there's something that's been preserved, even though the Native American cultures have suffered so much and they've lost so much. There's something beautiful here.
And so, Ryan, are you also saying that millennials have moved away from something that maybe past generations have held in the center? I'm not sure. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's been moving away. We've been losing it for a long time. You know, I think it started with industrialization and even maybe before that, but you know, human culture has been built over thousands of years, all these different cultures all over the world. And in the past 200 years, you could say we've shocked it. We've you know, changed our the objects and the ways of life so quickly that human culture hasn't had a chance to change in a good way. And it's led to a crisis in value. You know,
all right, Ryan, we got to go to break here, and you're giving us some food for thought. Appreciate your call there in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And when we do talk about different generations today, we're focused in on the millennials. What about culture? You know, how does culture change over the years? Not only the culture that we connect to, but how people value it. I want to hear about that, too. What do you think about the value systems of millennials and their connection to culture? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And again, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter. But again, our phone lines will remain open through the break. 1-800-99-NATIVE. Six Nations musician Robbie Robertson has given the world access to his rhythms and lyrics for decades. On the next Native America Calling, we'll put our literary spotlight on a new children's book about his life. It's titled Rock and Roll Highway, and it's by his son Sebastian Robinson. Join us for the November Book of the Month.
We are about to embark on this absolutely remarkable journey, and we will all walk this journey. We will walk it together. And when we reach our destination, we hope in our heart of hearts. And we must not be afraid, because we will make ourselves, all of us, so much better because of that. To achieve true success, we will all
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Mislata Pueblo, and today we're talking about Native millennials. This generation of people is now in their late teens and early 30s, and some say they are a powerful rising generation. Do you see that in your 18-year-old grandson, maybe even your 26-year-old granddaughter? When you look at these young people, they're going to college and striving to strengthen their culture and make their Native communities better. Do you think they'll succeed? And what's unique about this generation? You can call in and join us today at 1-800-996-2848. And if you're from an older generation, you know, what kind of criticism do you have? Do you have complaints or praises? Do you have a family full of millennials? Any words of wisdom to offer? Join our conversation and give us a call. Again, our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Dane in Browning, Montana, connecting to us online. Dane, what would you like to share?
I'd like to talk about millennials. I am the BCC Blackfeet Community College student body president, and I'm also on the BCC Board of Treasurers. Millennials, in my eyes, they get things done. They're leaders. They strive for their communities. They don't do things for themselves. They do things for others. And they get things done in such things like that.
And Dane, is there anything unique about Native American millennials you'd like to add?
They do it with their heart. They don't do it with their mind.
All right. Thank you very much, Dane. They're in Browning. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Now, if you're curious what people are saying about this, you know, throughout Native America, we put it on our social media on Facebook, asked folks to define or chime in on what they think of the millennial generation. Here's some of what they shared with us. Caitlin said, millennials expect technology. It is assumed that every process or task has an efficient answer. From ordering food for delivery on the internet to catching up with people on Facebook or other social media. Caitlin continues, most millennials have few or no memories of pre-computer age. And DAWS systems and payphones are things of nightmarish legend, much like the original Grimm fairy tales. What do you think about that? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Here's what Wyatt said on Facebook, not knowing where food comes from besides Walmart and not caring. That's how he describes millennials. Thomas describes them as disrespecting their elders and God. Charles says people have lost their self-worth in this time and age. What do you think? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And we've talked about the older generation. We're going to bring in another perspective today. I want to go ahead and bring in on the line Dr. David Gipp. He's a president emeritus at the United Tribes Technical College, and he is Hunk Papa Lakota. David and his colleague, Harriet Skye, did a study on Native millennial students at the UTTC campus in Bismarck, North Dakota. So he's got a lot to say on this. Let's bring him into the hour. Welcome to Native America Calling, Dr. Gipp.
Yes, it's great to be with all of you and to hear the very fascinating comments and observations by your guests and callers.
David, you used a great word, a fascinating conversation. I think a lot of people are still learning about millennials or even just the title. Anything you want to just jump in with about your understanding of the millennial generation?
Well, we did a small focused kind of group of study some years back now, and of some of our students at the United Tribes Technical College in our business administration degree program, our small business management, as well as some of our other language arts programs. And we found some very interesting and fascinating observations by students themselves that come from many different tribes at United Tribes, because we serve anywhere from 26 to 80 different tribes at any one time. And so we get students from all walks of life. But focusing on the millennial student, you know, one of the things is they are a caring group, as somebody has already pointed out. They are either acquainted with technology or very adaptive toward it, and they are enthusiastic and confident. One of the things they bring to the table that non-native millennials don't often bring, at least in terms of specific culture, language, heritage, and spirituality, is that value about who they are as tribal people. And that's a big significant difference. They care about it. The second part of that is if they don't know that much about it, they want to learn about it. And so they're confident in finding out more about their tribal governments and their tribal systems and their own history, heritage, and culture. And so they want all of these things. And I see that as a real positive, constructive point, because as our millennials take over in this generation and in the next, I think that they will use technology to more effectively not just preserve but to build upon all those, the issue of culture and language and heritage and even spirituality.
And David, I think something that, I've observed of, you know, if we take a look at millennials and we're doing it because of the age range, something that I see is they get each other. Millennials from one area can be with another group, and it seems like they just gel well, or there's a lot of things that don't need to be explained, and they make, you know, pretty unique connections. Would you echo this, or what do you think about that?
No, I think that the young, our young millennials have a good connection, and they know how to do it kind of in the language of the day, and using some of the non-native terminology, but combining that with their own specific native understanding and even language to a certain extent.
And, you know, when we think about, you know, how Native millennials may differ from the rest of the world, you know, or the nation, any thoughts? A lot of times when we see something in the national headlines or national focus, when you move over to Native America, age range might change, or some specifics. You know, are we, can we apply the common 10 years behind kind of thing?
Very much so. I think our Native millennials will be very, very critical to what is happening in bettering the issue of economic enterprise, of overcoming more and more of the issues of poverty. And in effect, they want themselves and their children to have the good things in life, as we as parents or grandparents wanted for them. But I think they'll be more effective at it. The second thing is, again, they know how to use technology. And the third thing is preservation of who we are as a people, culturally, linguistically, historically, but legally as well. You know, my generation and the generations before this, going clear back to those who first signed treaties, have always been preoccupied with assuring that our federal or native status is recognized and is there as a safeguard and as a protection for our people. I think millennials will move it the next step up and take things by the horn and move away from just issues of federal government dependency, but create a greater set of, if you will, rubrics for independence of our people and finding themselves more effectively.
And David, do you think that older generations really need to take a look at this generation and figure out how can we support them?
I think that we do. Obviously, I'm at a tribal college, an intertribal college, so I have perhaps that kind of a view where I've had experiences with students or our faculty have, and so we're kind of in a good position to see that. But many of our tribal leaders who are now taking over, by the way, and have some of these characteristics, but some of the older generation may need to really look and examine about the pluses of what the millennial generation can provide, because we're there. We have arrived, and they are arriving, and they will take over all of the different kinds of functions that we have in our communities, whether it's being a leader, whether it's being a teacher, or whether it's being a business person, or being a lawyer or a doctor. All of these facets of life are integral to the positive continuation of our communities. And I think our tribal leaders have to always take this now into more account, especially as tribes become more dynamic and have greater possibilities for economic, cultural, and political success.
All right, David, I think this is a great point to bring in another voice we got on the line, you know, talking about maybe the possible influence millennials are having right now, but what about in the future and how they take a look not only at tribal politics, but the future of our nation? What do you think? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and welcome today from Billings, Montana, Marcy McLean, and she is the Executive Director of Western Native Voice, and she is Blackfeet. Welcome to Native America Calling, Marcy.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for the invite, and it's an honor to be on your show.
And Marcy, we're at a point now where we're thinking about maybe how millennials influence our Native nations. You work directly with the vote. Any thoughts on how their influence may shape, you know, our futures as Native nations?
Well, I think their influence will have a significant shape in the future of policies. We just need to get them to the polling stations and have them vote. For us, it's figuring out what is the effective messaging to engage them politically. Their voice needs to be amplified in our civic arena, help shape our economic development in our Indian communities, both urban and rural, expand our access to education, both secondary and college education and beyond, and bring change to our communities to strengthen our communities. Because like a caller said earlier, many of them act with their heart. And so I know their heart is in the future of preserving for their children, their grandchildren, and protecting our waters. And so I think once we get the natives across the United States to band together, then that's how we will amplify our voice and have a seat at the table that will be powerful. And they can continue to the path that has been paved before us for those are not only our ancestors, but our current leaders who are fighting these battles for us. And they're endless battles, but we need the younger generation to come in and do it with their technology and their social media and all the relationships. I think one strength that the millennials have that we didn't have in my generation is this social media. It brings them, it gives them that connectedness across the nation, although on the other hand, I think it kind of employs a disconnectedness within our home, but it allows them to be connected to the to each other across the nation and across the world. And I think that's where social media is going to come in and be a key to improving our lives, economy, education, and our culture. Another thing is our millennials are still walking in the two worlds, but they're under pressure to educate themselves, not only academically, but culturally and historically. And the one gentleman that talked about not knowing, not having a connectedness, I think that's one thing our native millennials have is they have that connectedness. They can talk to you, tell us where they are and who they are back 5, 6, 7 generations, so they have that historical connectedness and that cultural connectedness, which I think is going to carry them through into this next battle that we're going to fight in amplifying our voice in the political arena and protecting our water.
And Marcy, especially during, you know, the midterm elections, we heard a lot about people taking a look at demographics, especially taking a look at this specific group, you know, coined the millennials. A lot of people say that they are disengaged. Any thoughts as to why, you know, this is so or why people think this?
Well, I think the disengagement comes from a lot of levels. We have our local turmoils, and I'm thinking here, you know, a lot of reservation is our tribal leaders are in turmoil in a lot of our nations. We have the division between descendant and tribal member, and then we have the tension between the tribal state and national government. So I think they're really seeing the effects of, well, I've seen my mother's vote, I've seen my grandmother's vote, and nothing has changed, nothing has improved, at least at that meets the eye. But I think what we see that has improved is that awareness. With social media, we're able to be more aware. It's literally at their fingertips for them to click on something and see what policies are going to be introduced, what bills are going to be introduced. So I think that's the disconnectedness is, I think, just the no results have shown through. And at times on some of our reservations, in fact, it's gotten worse because of the local fighting and turmoil and tensions.
And Marcy, any message to our listening audience today, maybe something that older generations could start thinking about now in terms of maybe even leaving a foundation for millennials?
Well, I think we need to come together as older generations. I'm a Generation X and a mother of a millennial and Generation Y. Is what is the effective messaging to engage them politically and civically, and not just engage them, but make them passionate about realizing this is their responsibility to their future. And if we can do something to give to the future, to, like you said, create the funds. I heard one gentleman say in his area they have an endowment fund for free education at a two-year college. Things like that is what the rest of us need to follow suit with to enable these kids to get their education, and not only their two-year degree, but beyond, get their PhDs. You know, we've seen the number of Native Americans attaining their PhDs increase, and to see that increase and then go back and give to their communities. Like the one lady mentioned, she sees a lot of millennials returning home and giving back to their community. I think that's something we need to keep in mind. But we also need to keep in mind we need these warriors off of our reservation as well to be fighting the battles off the reservation, because our battles are not only on our reservation, on our state, but at the nation too. And we need warriors at all boundaries of our homelands.
All right. Thanks for that, Marcy. We're going to turn it back to the millennials here in just a moment, but also want to remind you, if you'd like to reach out to us, a couple of minutes left in the hour, 1-800-99-NATIVE, or you can reach out to us, send us an email at comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Let's go on over to Washington, D.C. We're going to bring in Josh Marshall. He's a program analyst for Tribal Tech LLC, and which is an American-owned consultancy firm, and he is Northern Arapaho. Welcome to the hour, Josh.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
And Josh, great to have you here. What do you think about what you're hearing so far? Where we're taking a look at millennials, you connect to this directly. Anything you want to add?
I know a lot of the comments I heard, you know, are pretty much in line with what I was thinking. You know, millennial is a very amorphous term. It is what you make of it, I feel like, to define a whole generation of people. But in terms of what I've encountered in my life growing up as a millennial, I guess, and as a Native American, you know, I saw nuggets of truth.
Nice. And Josh, you work with all kinds of Native communities. What do you notice about Native millennials?
You know, yeah. I'm lucky enough in my job to be able to visit Native American communities throughout the U.S. and the Pacific Basin. And I think, you know, the last speaker talking about their engagement on the community and returning back to their community, I see that a lot. I interact a lot with Native millennials who, you know, did go out, did learn, and they came back to the community with skills, but also with ideas of how new models of doing stuff in their communities. I think, you know, prior we were constrained by certain modes of thinking, mostly imposed upon us in modes of doing things. But, you know, as the tribes have increased in their sovereignty and their self-determination, there's more opportunity now for millennials to come back and try out new ways of solving these issues in our community, new ways of starting businesses, of dealing with these social issues, of preserving our culture. And I just see a lot of dynamic creativity from the peers I meet when I've traveled to these communities.
And Josh, is there anything that's hindering millennials from really connecting and making that impact on their native community?
I don't know if there's hindering. I think there's a level of misunderstanding. I think that's just of the older generation in regards to millennials. up until this fascination with millennials, it's really more of a baby boomer's fascination with how millennials impact them than actually a fast millennials having all these fascinations with themselves. I think a benefit of our generation is we are comfortable in all these different situations. You know, this urban Indian versus reservation Indian dynamic, I don't think is as applicable to our generation. Our generation is very more, it's more multiracial. I myself am Northern Arapaho, Black, and German. I'm used to expressing all those aspects of my identity. I see more and more people my age who are from a mixed heritage, and I think that brings a unique perspective and a new perspective and a comfortableness with ambiguity that may make older generations a little bit hesitant to the ideas that we bring, maybe.
All right. Thanks, Josh. I got a caller on the line we're bringing in. Let's say hello to Dennis, who is in Washington, D.C., tuned in online. Dennis, what do you think?
Yeah, I just wanted to discuss, you know, this is an issue that's very interesting for me as a millennial born in 1984. A couple of years ago, I started, you know, people would talk about, you see young people all over the country that are doing different types of work in their communities. And I thought that really needed to be highlighted to address some of the misperceptions about, you know, people in our generation. And so I actually started a podcast called Next Gen Native. And the goal and the idea behind it is that you can't do work for the seventh generation if you're not, you know, focused on the work of the first, second, third generations. And so the podcast and the effort and the idea behind this is just to highlight what young natives are doing. You know, a lot of these folks, myself included, have been invested in by their tribes. And so we have a very strong desire to give back in some form and also to, you know, maintain our connection and our ties to our communities, whether you're in Washington, D.C., or whether you're back home on the res. And so I think, you know, there are a lot of millennials doing really great things out in the across the country, and that's my little effort to highlight and profile these folks so that people across Indian country can see what we're doing.
And Dennis, you know, what happens if we don't take the time to understand and learn more about the millennial generation?
I think it creates these, you know, false rifts. I think sometimes there are genuine misunderstandings between generations, but I think, you know, the notion that, you know, we're the me generation might be misunderstood for we want to give back and we're trying to find the right way to do that. So, you know, if you know, taking the time to learn and see what we're really about and see how that ties into, you know, what the broader narrative it is.
All right. Thanks for your call, Dennis, there in Washington. Dennis, real quick, where do people find you?
Yeah, so you can find it at nextgennative.com. That has a blog and the podcast interviews, and they can also find the podcast on the iTunes podcast store.
All right, Dennis, I look forward to looking into that. And again, if there is something that is covering, you know, this generation you want to tell us about, send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Let's go ahead and bring Lee Longhorn back into the hour. Lee, we have gone many places today talking about millennials. Anything that's really on your mind that you'd like to put out there so that this generation is understood more?
Yeah, I was talking to a friend earlier today, and we were talking about inclusion. And, you know, it's amazing how Native millennials, I think, are more inclusive and more open-minded, mainly because the prejudice of our parents and our grandparents have subsided because those prejudices, like, for example, interracial relationships. I remember growing up as a kid hearing certain individuals say things like, don't marry outside your race, marry within your tribe, and all that. But then as their children got older and they did eventually marry outside their race or outside their tribe, the world didn't collapse. And so millennials have almost come to the mindset of, well, you know, what you're afraid of isn't actually a fear. It's just a mindset. And so when you talk with millennials about, you know, societal issues, it's almost like they're inclusive to try and find a problem or try and find a solution versus harping on a problem.
All right. And Josh threw out something there, our last call, voice in the hour, about maybe some of this is just older generations wondering about the younger generation. What do you think about that, Lee?
I can agree. I think sometimes, you know, there's that old
question of when did I become an adult? I think older generations kind of think, like, when did I become, you know, my parents' age, or when did I become my parents? And so there's always that thought of what's this generation going to do? Are they doing the best they can? And, you know, the only answer or solution I would ever think I could actually think about when I heard that was, you know, there needs to quit being such a generational gap and be more of a generational meeting and dialogue. So, you know, for a millennial to understand what's going on in the world, you know, spend time with someone older, spend time with someone not your age, and create a relationship with that individual.
All right, Lee, thank you very much for joining us today here on Native America Calling. And we're getting ready to wrap up our hour about Native Millennials. Here are a couple more comments that I wanted to share with you. This came to us on Twitter. We talked about what about millennials and the language and what's going on. The Language Conservancy said young people rediscovering their native languages, speaking, reading, sharing, and teaching, describes millennials, and each one of those last words has a hashtag with it. Next Gen Native also posted doing things to serve in many ways, using education investments to work in law, business, education, healthcare, and government. That's what folks answered to when we asked, you know, what do you think, or when you hear the word millennial. Thank you to all the folks we heard in the hour today. Want to go ahead and also say thanks again to Lee Longhorn, Tyanne Bernally, Dr. David Gipp, Marcy McLean, and also Josh Marshall. Thanks for joining us today here on Native America Calling. We will reopen up our electronic talking circle tomorrow. Thanks to our crew, Sarah Gustavus, Monica Brain, Andy Murphy, Stephen Emmons, also Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. Visit us online at NativeAmericaCalling.com. There you will find out a little bit more about us, as well as the programs that we have. While you're there, sign up for our newsletter if you're not already signed up, and you can find out what we have planned for upcoming weeks. Thanks for joining us. We wish you a wonderful rest of your day.
Waka, healthy communities start with healthy families. Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 15th. Find out if you and your family qualify for free or low-cost health insurance. Contact your local Indian health program. Visit healthcare.gov/tribal or call 1-800-318-2596. Good.
Support provided by the Anchorage Marriott Downtown, one block from the Denina Convention Center and close to restaurants and shopping, welcoming the upcoming Bureau of Indian Affairs meeting. For booking, 1-800-228-9290 and mention BIA.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.